South was built in 1957, and the parcel was split from the farmland in 1982. The septic system was replaced in less than a year ago in 2015. The property itself is 3,729 square feet. The driveway to the property, to the dwelling itself, is about a quarter mile long. The property has geothermal heating and is served by Midland Power Co-op. So the project itself, the applicant is proposing a four-room bed and breakfast. Dean and Denise Beekler, the applicants, will reside in the ground floor apartment and manage the bed and breakfast. They may need to, in terms of employees, they may need to hire, depending on how the bed and breakfast takes off, they may need to hire a housekeeper or a gardener, but we did note that their employees will need to meet the requirements set forth by the county's code. Breakfast will be made by the applicants, and much of the food will be sourced from the family's existing garden on the property directly to the north of the proposed bed and breakfast. In terms of the event venue, the applicant would like to begin with smaller events, 20 to 40 people, with the intention of building on those in future years. The planned improvements would include converting the front two-car garage to reception and conference venue. And to this, they would add on about a 900-square-foot outdoor pavilion and a restroom inside. The possible, looking forward, one of the possibilities would be to renovate the 1944 barn that is directly south of the dwelling to provide for an even larger reception area. So here's a site map. I zoomed in a little bit here. This is the north end of the property. The dwelling itself is right here in the center. The proposed four-season venue, which they would convert the current two-car garage into a proposed four-season venue, and the three-season, the pavilion-type structure would just be directly off the two-car garage. Once again, the pavilion would be about 900 square feet, so not a huge structure. The existing well to the south, the septic tank is to the north of the property there. The septic field right here. They have the kind of some outdoor spaces outlined on the map for us here. There we go. To the south of the dwelling, which is right here once again, they have the barn that was built in 1944 that they would in the future be interested in renovating for a larger venue space. There is a horse barn behind the barn there. The Beeklers are, the applicants are very interested in conservation and outdoor recreation, including hiking and birding, and so they want to be able to offer their guests a place to even keep their horses so they could horseback ride on the trails, just as another option. Okay, so looking at the six items that we use to determine conditional uses, compatibility. This is an economic opportunity for the agricultural community, and it is similar to an accessory home business, which is encouraged in the A1 district. The proposed use would be to help to identify, conserve, and enhance natural resources in Story County. These are tie back to the county's development plan, and do support the plan. The bed and breakfast will occupy the existing dwelling and accessory structure, so there will be no major development happening on the site. It is nestled in the woods and natural prairie with views of the grounds and gardens. Once again, tying back to their desire and their target audience for this bed and breakfast would be people who are interested in spending time outdoors and being in touch with nature. There are private trails on the property, and they would offer on-site recreation. The venue itself would probably have more of an impact on the A1 district than the bed and breakfast. That's just due to traffic and noise, large groups of people. The dwelling itself, though, is located about 1,000 feet from any residences not owned by the applicant. So here's a picture of the dwelling itself on the proposed bed and breakfast. This is the two-car garage here that they would like to renovate into a conference venue, an indoor conference venue area. The pavilion then would come directly out here and occupy the space that is there, currently the driveway. There's just a picture of some of the gardens and the pond on the site. There's a picture of a trailhead. This trail goes up to the property, property that the Beekers own, directly north of this site. Here you can see the relationship to this kind of hard to see here, but the South Skunk River. It's located right along there. This is a greenhouse that they moved from ISU when they stopped using it. And this is an active greenhouse. They have plants growing there. Here's another trail entry. Just another picture of the backyard area. One of the things that we wanted to look at was the proximity to the parks and trails, the existing parks, public parks and trails. So the properties in red are the properties that the applicant owns. Once again, the bed and breakfast property is located right here. So it's adjacent to quite a bit of conservation land, and then the there's that connection to the Pleasant Valley Road Trail. It's about between a tenth and a quarter of a mile from the Beekler's property through the conservation land to the existing trail. So there's good connection there. I spoke with Mike Cox, the conservation director, and he has no concerns about this proposed project. The transition of the property, the dwelling is surrounded, as you can see, by trees. Here's the dwelling here, surrounded by trees on the really all sides. There's a buffer of bushes along the western edge of the property, and then once again the green belt conservation land to the east. This is primarily green space, although there are a few existing residences. This is the property directly to the north, where the Beeklers currently live. We do want to stress that they are very well respected in the preservation community and have done a lot of work on the land that they've owned. They've done a lot of plantings of native prairie plantings and a lot of restoration to the land. This is the farmland to the west, which they also own. In terms of traffic, the average daily counts from the Iowa DOT 2005 on 160th Street were 10 vehicle trips per day, which is very low. The applicant estimates, the traffic estimates from the applicant are up to 10 or 20 vehicles per month for the bed and breakfast. And this is assuming 50% occupancy. Thinking about it in terms of vehicle trips per day, if there were 20 vehicles per month, that would be about four vehicles on any given weekend. And with the number of rooms, that's a reasonable estimate. In terms of vehicle trips, one might guess that the guests would arrive to the site to check in. They might leave. They might leave again to go out to dinner and come back, and maybe for one more activity during the day. They might drive out, which would be six trips per car, six vehicle trips per car, and so that would increase the daily count, but it wouldn't be as very significant. The venue, that once again the estimate from the applicant was between 50 and 130 vehicles per month. The example that I came up with was assuming the applicant had even an event with 150 people and an average of 2.5 people per vehicle. They would have 60 vehicles on any given event day, with two vehicle trips per vehicle to the event and then leaving the event. There would be about 120 vehicle trips during any specific event with 150 people once again. The applicant provided us with three proposed access routes. Here we have I-35 to the east, and 69 is over here. The three routes proposed by the applicant would be on coming off I-35 on 130th Street and south on 560th Avenue here, and then east on 160th. The second route would be coming from the west, from the south coming up 69 here, on to the east on 170th Street. The guests could choose to go up 563rd Avenue here, or to go up to 160th Street to the property. Then the third route would be coming off of I-35 and exit 116, using that frontage road there, traveling west on 170th and then north on 563rd up to 160th to access the property. These roads are all... of course, Highway 69 is paved, but these thinner lines indicate roads that are all gravel. This was a concern for the engineering department, but the applicant has expressed agreement to provide dust control measures. This is a map we created. There are about 80 address markers along these roads, these proposed routes here. So So those little dots are address markers. And those are within 1,000 feet of the route. So what we proposed is that the applicant, there's their property there, provide dust control measures for 1.5 miles all around the site on the proposed routes. So in terms of parking and loading, the bed and breakfast will be parking will be located directly to the west of the dwelling. The ADA compliant spaces would be there and signage, and those things are included in the conditions. The additional parking is directly to the south. So here, once again, is the property. This is the proposed bed and breakfast parking with ADA compliant spaces. The additional parking is here directly to the south. 108 spaces are planned for the venue parking, and a 26 wide access aisle is meets our code. And this is proposed in the gravel area on the west side of the property, so along here. The current driveway is about between 10 and 12 feet wide. Our proposal is that if the applicant does move forward with the event venue, to require the driveway to be widened to 22 feet, which is the standard width for a gravel road. Because it is a quarter of a mile long, and with events, sometimes they have alternative transportation for people, especially to venues out in the country. Buses would have a parking spot down here. So from 160th, the traffic flow would come east on 160th, south into the driveway. The existing dwelling is right here. So it would come straight down past the B&B parking and loop around here into the proposed parking area. Buses would have a place to park here on the southern end. Once again, this is the driveway. We're sitting at 160th Street, looking south into the driveway. This is 160th Street, looking west. You can see, once again, it's a gravel road. As you enter you drive down the road, there's this is the entrance to the B&B. And here's the parking area, the proposed parking areas. Here's the to the south here, the additional parking. This is the turn into the venue parking. And this is an image of the current proposed venue. Parking venue area. The applicant is proposing to remove the invasive species along the western edge of the property to provide more room for parking. There's two rows of bushes here, and they're proposing to thin that down to one and remove all the invasive species so that they can have room for parking but still provide the buffer there between the properties. So the proposed venue parking's here. The B&B parking again, and the additional parking there. In terms of signs and lighting, the applicant will ensure that there is adequate outdoor lighting to prevent trips and falls in circulation areas and entrances. There is an external sign proposed for the entry area of the bed and breakfast, Here's a drawing that the applicant provided us, a sketch of what it might look like. And they're guessing between 8 and 12 square feet. The applicant will be responsible for signage, directing traffic flow, and parking on site. Environmental protection. The applicant plans to remove only overgrown and invasive shrubs and trees. They will replace the invasive species with native species to the area, including American hazelnuts, arrowwood, dogwoods. A small portion of this property is located within the floodplain, and I have an image of that coming up, but there's no development plan for that area. The applicants have returned nearby, once again, the applicants have returned nearby portions of land to the native prairie and do plan to do the same on several areas of the property. So here's a picture of some of the native prairie that they've restored. And you can see here they have indicated areas where they are proposing new native prairie plantings, some native shrubs here, and then the native shrubs along the western the western edge of the property here, and then here. Large events at the venue will use portable toilets outdoors in order to minimize the impact on the septic system. The applicant anticipates locating these to the west and south of the property. They have indicated those in red here, three portable toilets here, and three more up here. Dust control for adjacent dwellings located along the routes to the B&B is once again one of our conditions. Comments from the interagency review team. We routed this application to the interagency review team, and we received back comments. The assessor's office just wanted to make sure to review the property, any property improvements that the applicant makes. The other the comment from the engineering department was that the traffic volumes really are the main concern for the event venue. The B&B would not pose any issue for traffic, but expanding the event venue would greatly increase the traffic. And then, as a solution, dust control should be required in front of homes. The Environmental Health Department is not requiring any changes to the current septic system, but provides some guidance to the applicant here, understanding the of managing, routine monitoring of the effluent screen, at least a couple, checking the filter at least a couple times a year. If usage does fluctuate, this is, it's recommended that they switch to a timer pump just to dose the pressurized bed. Here are some of the comments from the Planning and Development Department. We asked for a roadmap showing the preferred route, the map showing the boundary of the River Ridge Farm, where, once again, the applicant currently lives and will source much of the breakfast food from. We asked about further information on employees. We asked about the portable toilets during large events, ADA requirements, and then just an outline of the mitigation and replanting plan for any natural vegetation cover being removed. We did receive two comments from the general public. On Tuesday the 31st, Larry Messenbrink, who lives along 160th Street to the west of the property, expressed concerns about the increase in traffic as well as the general public's use of conservation and recreation areas. Jolie Bowlers sent an email in support of the project this afternoon, and included in that email that the Beeklers are responsible, conscientious neighbors and stewards of the land. Jolie strongly supports the proposal and looks forward to having this in the neighborhood. These are comments from the floodplain manager. Once again, the property highlighted in blue, there is a small portion on the eastern edge of the property that is located within the floodplain, although you can see that all the development is in the southern portion of the property, and there's no proposed development in any of the floodplain area. Information and application for development were provided to the applicant by the floodplain development coordinator. So with that, our recommendation from the planning and development staff is to approve this conditional use permit with the following conditions. Number one is the applicant will be required to provide dust control measures within 1.5 miles of the property on the preferred routes identified by the applicant, particularly in front of dwellings as needed. Planning staff would reserve the right to increase the required dust control distance from the applicant's property based on complaints by landowners within the vicinity. So that condition really just gives us the flexibility to work with the applicant to kind of keep everyone in the area happy. Number two, the applicant shall install a paved surface for ADA compliant parking to the entrance of the and extend that to the entrance of the dwelling and venue buildings, and include the ADA accessibility signage. Number three, the applicant shall post internal signs not to exceed 16 square feet as stated in our code to assist with venue traffic and circulation, parking, including at the intersection of the main drive and the drive for the venue parking area. Number four, amplified music outdoors shall not be permitted. Number five, additional lighting for outdoor venues shall be limited to the venue spaces, walkways, and areas over doorways. All lighting shall meet county requirements. This is really just preventing any huge lighting from being put in. And the applicant, number six, the applicant is required to widen the main drive to improve traffic circulation throughout the property to 22 feet within 2 years. With that being said, if the applicant decides not to move forward with the proposed venue, this improvement is not needed. We feel that the current drive is sufficient and wide enough for the bed and breakfast use.
And which venue are you referring to? The one that's attached to the house or the eventual venue in the barn?
Either one. So they would have the bed and breakfast traffic, but they would also have the venue traffic during events. Does that make sense? Okay. The applicant should ensure the provision of potable water at all events. And with the zoning permit application submittal, the applicant shall also submit a professional site development plan from an Iowa licensed architect or engineer for the proposed parking, building, and site improvements. So the alternatives for the Planning and Zoning Commission, the staff recommends number two, to approve the conditional use permit with the conditions and send it to the Board of Adjustment for their June 15th meeting.
Thanks. Questions for the staff?
I'm curious. Is the pavilion going to be enclosed? I guess that's probably a better one to ask.
We asked about that. It would be a like a three-season area, so it would be screened. It would have screens on three sides, and the fourth side would be attached to that the garage there.
Okay.
And the applicant did include that the screens would have the option of rolling up and when the weather permits. and mosquitoes aren't too bad.
Okay. I'm just wondering, in terms of the noise level, if there's music in the pavilion, if that could potentially kind of disperse outward.
Mm-hmm.
You're making the recommendation that there be no outdoor, basically.
Right. We made the recommendation that there's no amplified music outdoors. So
okay.
That would with the outdoor. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, do we have square footage on the portion of the garage, the addition of the garage that would be converted to a...
Well, the garage would remain the same. So that garage itself would be converted into a venue reception area. And then the pavilion extending from the garage would be the only really addition, and that would be about 900 square feet.
So 30 by 30.
If I may, the garage is 300 square feet, the pavilion is 20 by 30, 600 square feet, 900 total.
Great, thank you. Other questions?
Do you remind me how far is this bed and breakfast? Bed and breakfast and venue from any other residences?
Okay, it's about 1,000 feet from any of the other residences. The closest residence is on the other side of the Skunk River, but there are a couple residences around 1,000 feet from the dwelling.
Okay, and one of the public comments that you got was one of those that was right across?
No, this was a... property owner, let me see here, to the west of the dwelling, located...
Somebody that owns several parcels.
Several parcels, yep, to the west here.
They don't live there?
I'm sorry?
Do they reside there?
I believe so.
And what was the other one?
The other property owner lives... I believe along 563rd Avenue there, but they were in support of having the bed and breakfast in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Is there any specific standard in our code that led to the 120 some odd spaces? I mean, how is that calculated? Or is that just what that...
From the applicant, for the most part.
Okay.
Because our standards are set up such that they're maximum.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Standards.
To reduce impervious surface.
Yeah.
Right.
With some of the larger events, the applicant may not have enough, potentially may not have enough parking spaces, but a lot of times with those events, they'll arrange mass transportation from a certain area in the city or elsewhere.
So when we act on this tonight, we'll be acting on generally the use of a bed and breakfast,
mm-hmm.
The conversion of the garage in addition of the pavilion, the parking as laid out there, but nothing else as far as structures.
Right, that's the
barn.
Well, the applicant is proposing... to possibly in the future convert the barn into a venue space, but that would have to go through a...
So when we act on this, we need to distinguish. I mean, unless it's clear in the application that the barn is later and they're going to come back for a modification to the CUP, our action needs to specify that. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Because is the application clear that they want that approved now? Or is that something to think about in the future and they'll come back for modification?
I think the barn was a part of it. I mean, the primary thing that they want to do is the bed and breakfast. That's the primary thing. And they want to get that going. And then once they're successful with that, then they would like to draw on doing venues. And with the venues, that's where some of these improvements can come into play. The first thing is the addition or the renovation to the attached garage, then the pavilion, and then probably thirdly would be improvements to that barn. So it's all a part of the application that's before you.
And unless we alter it with some other condition, what's the life of a CUP
it can be as long as we want it to be.
Okay.
And it runs with the land, certainly with this, with the current landowners and with future landowners, unless the P&Z specifies otherwise.
So let me ask for clarification here. I'm looking at the long-range strategic plan that the applicant submitted.
Yep.
Are you saying that everything in this from year one through year 10 is included in their application? And if we approve the application, they have approval to do all of this? Which ends up being with the barn, we're looking at 150 to 350 guests.
That's correct. Yep.
Of course, we would have the option to apply a commission with that or require them to come back at a certain point to get a modification to expand the next phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Any other questions of staff?
Is it so the barn is the earliest? Year 3.
Right, so they're proposing it to be a few years down the road pending the success of the bed and breakfast. Yep.
Okay. This may have occurred when I was in Florida. What's the deal with this emergency action plan?
That's another item. Yeah. That's a separate item.
That was
actually
kind of
Okay, if there's no more questions for the staff, applicant, love to hear anything you might want to add.
Jesus, that's stupid, isn't it?
It makes all the rest of us feel really good.
Nothing. Let me make fun of myself before you do, right? I like that.
Who needs your name and address, please?
Sure. I'm Dean Beekler, and this is my wife, Denise Beekler. We live at 56699 160th Street, Ames, Iowa. We recently bought the property immediately south of us, and we first entertained the idea of renting out the house as a rental property. And then we decided that was not a great use for that property, that renters are hard on property, and that property deserves better care than that. So our son, our oldest son, Joseph, lives in Costa Rica, and he's going to be moving back here. He will eventually buy our current home and live there, and he wants to do the sustainable agriculture that we have started there, and the gardens and stuff, and we will be moving to the apartment in the bed and breakfast. The venues are, especially the barn, believe me, we look at this as a source of income in our retirement, and we're not interested in doing that barn. That will be sons or daughters if that happens. We have a son in the hospitality industry in New York, and he's the one that said, "Mom and Dad, you need to think about this being a venue." And we said, "Not in our lifetime." So that sounds like work for younger generations. And this is something we considered. We didn't take it lightly because we live there. We don't want a bazillion people there, so it's something we thought long and hard about. And we already know that we're going to get in visiting with Jerry and his staff. It was, you know, they offered good advice. They said, you know, If you think that's remotely possible, do the conditional use permit up front. Then you aren't coming back time and again asking the county to do. Tell them what the potential is there that could be done. So what if we do a venue? We see it being currently the house as is, where someone might say we want to do a retreat out there, and we estimate that the house itself could entertain a 20 to 30 person retreat, conference, whatever. Then we see the possibility of converting that upper garage. We don't need a garage for bed and breakfast customers, converting that, and that's because of the way it's laid out, it's only 300 square feet in there. And to make, if you've ever lived in the River Valley, you know there's a mosquito time of year that it isn't really nice to go outside, so that's where we proposed the addition of a pavilion so that we could have power roll down screens so that if people were out there and they couldn't use the yards, at least they could go in there. As far as the music, the loud music, no, we were glad when they said no amplified music. Remember, we live there. We don't want amplified music. Our daughter was married on our farm, and there were 125 people at that wedding. We received no complaints from that. We had two other weddings. One of my colleagues was married at our farm, and one of my students was married at our farm. And no occasion have we reserved. We didn't have loud music at those three events, and the traffic apparently did not create a big problem. Traffic is something, and we're the ones that really address that traffic during a venue could be a problem. We're willing to mitigate that. On our website, we're willing to put a fair notice or warning to customers. You are traveling. I mean, we even have considered, we're on gravel. People might not come. So, and that's still a possibility. But we would put a notice on there, especially to be aware of farm traffic and stuff during the spring and the fall, and be polite and courteous. They have as much right to the road as cars do. It is something that we've taken into consideration, and we figured with the bed and breakfast, it would be less traffic than if we had all our teenagers living back in the neighborhood and all our and the renters. So I guess basically in a nutshell, that's where we're at. Things you want to add to it?
I have a question. I think the staff gave you good advice to come to us with an application that was far reaching, just so that we could see it all laid out in front of us. But one of the concerns I see, and the engineer also reflects, is that this may be great at this level, but at some point along the way, it could quickly expand to the point where it's not so great for traffic and dust and that sort of thing. Would you be willing to break this up a little bit to the first couple of phases and come back?
Very much so. In fact, we have no problem with that. If our children do decide to become a part of this and they want to do that barn, they can come to you and ask for the barn. Because I can guarantee you, we have no interest in developing the barn.
The barn strikes me as a leaping off point where yes, you quickly multiply the size of the venue.
We didn't retire to take on a barn revenue venture, so.
I was getting the idea, based upon the way they described it, they were crossing their fingers and hoping we would put a condition on it.
We're interested in small meetings and things like that, maybe graduation parties of 50 people or something like that. But as we said, if the kids someday want to renovate the barn and bring lots of people out,
that they want to do that massive parking, they can do it. But we just needed to show if it did happen, where it would go and what it would be like. So
there's always the hope that someday Story County will pay 170th. We've been hoping for years, haven't we?
So that would also reduce the parking required significantly.
Oh, very much so.
Too. So I wonder what you would think would be an appropriate number of spaces.
Well, if we're looking at
toward the barn.
And we used, Emily used a 2.5, and we kind of were estimating on two people per car, because that's usually what shows up. We were figuring that, I would guess, Jerry, do you, or Emily, do you have that parking, proposed parking drawing? I would guess that the first, the upper part of that down possibly to the machine shed, as being, and it may not even include the very north part of it. It might just be from where the driveway comes in to there. You know, if you have 50 people, 25 cars, 30 cars maybe. So,
yeah, so I was thinking something like.
Yeah.
Now, would that include the closed parking?
Yeah, the closed parking remains. So.
And how many spaces are there?
There's six existing. We're going to expand with the handicap parking. We're going to expand that to three more there. And then there's six down here. So
I was thinking something like 40 total.
Yeah, so yeah, that would probably be still a lot more than we ever envision ourselves. So, but, yeah, and I mean, Iowa State University uses our farm all the time for classes and stuff, so they bring out vehicles. The USDA and Iowa State, and actually two Iowa State projects, the research projects are being conducted at the farm right now. And last May we were part of the North Central Midwest agroforestry tour, so there was buses and cars and stuff that visited us, and we were able to park all of them on our property without anybody parking on the county road and stuff. And so we've Trees Forever has used us for tours and for educational reasons too. So I mean, it's part of where we are and what we are. That little sign, they showed that sign, thanks for showing, the little sign right below that, we were, in 2009, we were selected as one of the top 20 projects in, conservation projects in the last 20 years. So.
Congratulations.
Any other questions?
How long have you lived on the property?
We've lived there it'll be 37 years come December.
And how many acres do you have total?
With the new purchase, just short of 180.
And how much of that is in it? So none of that is conventional row crops?
Yes, the 60, well, 50 of the 60 acres that we just purchased is conventional row crop and will remain as row crop or farm ground. And then our back 11 is all of our fields and pastures are buffered by prairie, native prairie, and we have a filter strip on the back field to keep it from eroding into a marsh that's back there. And so that field is in beans this year. And then the front part of our fields are the fields we've converted to rotational pastures.
Any other questions for that? Anyone else who would like to thank you very much.
Thanks.
Anyone else who would like to speak on this issue? Go ahead, sir.
Larry Messenbrink. I live at 53-245-150th Street, and I have property on 160th. I feel like I brought a fly swatter to an elephant hunt. I have some definite objections. May I?
Sure.
you need to set the picture of what we're talking about here. This is a very rural, quiet area. 10 vehicles a day. My wife grew up on the farm, and we want to maintain that quiet privacy. We're talking about bringing buses in. Events of 350 people. It just doesn't set well. It's a passionate thing for us. All I have to fall back on is that this is agricultural conservation area. They've done a good job in conservation until they go to bring and start an intensive business into the area. And that's the bottom line of it. This is more of a resort or a lodge type undertaking than it ever was a bed and breakfast. All I could fall back on is the land use framework, which I've quoted portions of here. I've had about 48 hours to put together what I have here. I've learned more here than I ever knew about this before to this day. And I've known my neighbors for years. There is a map attached to the back of that. The best I could do that shows where our property lies in relationship to the venue. As you can see, we're a funnel. The only way to get on the roads to their property is to pass through the center of our crop ground. Now, that's a county road. We knew that as part of the property. The dust control thing has to be more than just at dwellings. Dust will diminish yields in crops. If we're taking crops out when events are scheduled, there's not enough room on those roads for us to get our crops out, for us to haul the grain, for us to move the equipment. This is huge. This is large. And like I said, I've had very little time to even consider or think about it. I think I called Jerry, what, on Friday? I visited with you.
Yes, he did.
Or no, Tuesday?
It was this week.
Yeah. And I got the information late yesterday afternoon. The more detailed stuff other than the posting. We have dreams for our property. Right now we have our grandson is rebuilding the family home. My grandsons and I, my three grandsons, been clearing timber slowly for the last 8-10 years to have a quiet place that we can have our family get together. This is business. There's no other thing to be said about it. And this is agricultural ground. I'm at a loss. I put my thoughts down here.
Any questions
for Mr. Messenbrook? I'm just curious, Mr. Messenbrook. It sounds like the vehiclers have had handled larger groups out at the farm. Did you notice the increased traffic?
You bet we noticed that. 125 people driving down that road. You bet you notice it. And you wait and you get out of the way. And now it's going to become the norm rather than the exception. We're talking about bringing busloads of people in. I just heard that tonight. I don't know if you noticed, but I saw a horse paddock drawn in. What type of recreational venues or opportunities do they have? What are they planning? It almost reminds me of a dandelion in your yard. You have one, there's nothing going on. But if you don't do something, it'll be all over. This is the start. And I don't want to lose what I have. I don't, for the sake of profit. And that's what it boils down to.
Any other questions? Okay, sir.
Oh.
Nancy has a question for you.
I noticed that you said we have no opposition to a conditional use permit for the operation of a bed and breakfast. Okay. So,
the rest of the statement was as defined?
Yeah, and it's which falls right in line with what they're describing as a bed and breakfast in terms of volume and so on. But what it sounds to me is if what you have a concern about is the future plan beyond the bed and breakfast. Am I correct?
It goes back to being neighbors. I have nothing against them inviting guests into their house if they decide to charge it for them. That's one thing, and that's low volumes. That is not what the end game is here, I don't believe.
Yeah, that's my point. Is if it stops at the bed and breakfast, you got no problem.
I got no problem.
Okay.
Anything else, Nancy?
Nope.
Thank you. Anybody
would like to speak, sir?
Go ahead.
My name is Scott Vance. I live at 2036 Piners Drive in Ames, Iowa. I am the property owner to the south of the Beekler property. I guess I feel for Larry, and I guess some valid concerns, I think, about the event possibility. I will say it is a very remote area. There really isn't much traffic. I used to own the property. You cannot see the property from, visually from outside. The nearest houses are, at least 1,000 feet away. I have no problem with the bed and breakfast or a small venue type of operation there. It is one of the most beautiful pieces of ground in Story County. I know that because I ran those trails every day for 15, 20 years. I actually own the trailhead to the Skunk River Greenbelt. I let the people use that, and I think the people should be allowed to use the whole corridor. I understand that other people have businesses there. They might be agricultural businesses, but I think there's no one has the right to control beautiful land, public spaces. So I'm hoping that you approve that their conditional use permit. Thank you.
Questions, sir?
Questions for me?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chance. So were you saying that you were the landowner and you sold this property to the Beeklers?
Correct. But I still own the south property.
That's all I know.
Okay. Thanks. Actually, my mother owned it before me, and her grandmother owned it before her, and her grandfather owned it before them. So we've been around a while, too.
Okay, anyone else like to speak? All right. Planning Commission? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that we ought to adhere to the veterans' concern and put conditional use on the bed and breakfast and such a time frame that says, hey, kids, it's your job. And we don't have to worry about it. I don't know what kind of time frame we would put a condition on.
So you're saying recommend approval of something that they have planned to accomplish in the near future and require them to come back if ever they want to extend further?
Yeah.
Yeah. good.
We don't have to say that the kids have to come back, but you know. That's my feeling on it. Because I don't see any, you know, and even this other gentleman says, hey, we have no problem with the bed and breakfast. It sounds like a lovely. And as this gentleman said, it's a beautiful property, and there's great recreational.
I think Mr. Messenbrick has some valid concerns. I interpret them to be concerns with the proliferation of this, which we've seen in other places in the county, rather than the thing that they're actually applying for now.
Yeah.
It's potentially a dramatic increase in traffic, but it's a dramatic increase. A 300% increase from almost nothing is still pretty small. Compared to other gravel roads, and there are other gravel roads in the county that handle a lot more traffic than this. I would just say that I appreciate the staff's abundance of caution, but I think that some of the conditions are probably unnecessary too, in particular the ones that deal with the internal happenings on the property. I mean, I understand parking, yes, but as far as, you know, having a condition that they need to have circulation signage.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't operate well, they don't do good business. You know, and that's, I'm not sure it needs to be our concern.
The signage is something that they were going to probably do.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will. Yeah. And, you know, the lighting of the road, I'm kind of wishy-washy on, again, because if people don't find it pleasant and convenient to be there, then they won't be business very long.
But then also that can be part of the conditional use down the road, because they don't, because it even says here that if they don't just go with the venue, this improvement's not needed.
If they apply to intensify it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the strategic plan, which is very good, by the way, put together.
Yes, it was.
And thinking whether there's a place there. I think we're all in agreement of some development would have minimal impact on neighbors, on farmers. I'm trying to look at it and think we probably are going to, if we're going to be able to get a motion here, or if we need to ask staff to draft something, I'm kind of trying to look at, is there a break point that would be reasonable? You know, is it the end of year two? Is it years three through five? I think when you get through that year plan past year five, that's when the use really starts building up. That's when the potential concerns really start building up.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, it's not
online.
I'm sorry.
The reason why is because it's recorded.
That's right. Sorry. I like that whole mic.
Yes, as I said earlier, I know mine and Denise's intention is not to develop that barn into a venue and have 108 vehicles there. I agree very much with Larry that it's a quiet place, and that's part of the reason we've lived there for so long. And we would like to keep it that way. I also don't want to be handicapped in saying that, okay, you can do the bed and breakfast. So when the College of Design, who has already contacted me and said, are you guys going to be open in the fall? We'd like to host our honors reception out there. Well, how many people? 25, 30. We could probably handle that. I don't want to limit it. That's much like that private party that Larry mentioned, that, you know, we've had 30 people at our house for a private party. So I don't want to be handicapped in being able to do that. As far as, no, we're not going to addressing another one of Larry's concerns. Yes, a horse barn with paddocks. Yes, there is a horse barn already there, and what we see that as being, if people want to bring their horses, we're not going to have horses and have a livery where we're going to, we're not going to provide a livery for anything. not for canoes, not for tubing, not for kayaking. People want to bring those things and enjoy Story County's recreational areas that they have to offer. They can do that, but we're not going to provide those things. So, but if they want to bring their horse, and rather than stabling it in their horse trailer, they want to rent a horse stall in the barn, yes, we'll make that available to them. So.
Can I ask, can you tell me what the question?
Sure.
Okay. On this long-term plan, I'm trying to decide, you know, we got 3 year two is pretty well what you just described, right? Mm-hmm. When we get to years three through five, is then we're talking about the portico addition to the upper level garage. Is that a near term or leave it to my kids thing?
That could fall in that area of us still running this and them. It's really providing a space where if somebody decides they're going to come out and have a small wedding and mosquitoes are horrible, they've got a place they can go into and still hold the reception or hold the wedding without standing outside swatting mosquitoes and being miserable. So that's the intent of that.
Okay, so help me out here. Years 5 through 10. Okay, so we got years 3 through 5. Pretty well what you want to do right now. Before your kids take over and do whatever the heck they want. So then we're at 5 through 10. Are we going to do the kids?
Yeah, I'm guessing probably in 5 years, 10 years. Yeah, 10 years for sure. 5 years probably. So
maybe I can suggest that we just that one of the conditions could simply be that our recommendation for approval applies to the bed and breakfast as described and the attached 900 square foot venue and potential renovation of the upper level of the garage.
Okay.
Those are one and the same.
The
upper level garage and that. The upper level garage is 300 square feet. The pavilion is 600 square feet, 900 square feet total.
Okay.
So rather than go break it up by year in their strategic plan,
I was just trying to get it in my head as to where.
Yep.
What they wanted and what they wanted to leave us.
So that would be one route, just to say that that it would apply, CUP would apply to the bed and breakfast as described in the application, the attached 900 square foot venue. I might also suggest that a condition be put requiring 30 parking spaces total. And I have some conditions I would recommend not including, but we can get to those. What do you think, Jerry?
I have a question for Jerry. If they stay with this bed and breakfast, as we're talking about here, are you still going to require that they hire an engineer to design parking lot?
I think the condition with regard to the professional drawing came about because of the potential aspect of what could happen. But if they keep it more low-key and it's more bed and breakfast with maybe smaller venues, then it's probably something that staff would request. They would still need to provide adequate drawings, though, to show that they're meeting our layout requirements and improvements.
To get it out there, I'm not condition number one on the dust control. That's a lot of reaching out there to provide dust control on what is the gravel road.
That came about through the 350 potential.
Yeah. Venues.
I mean, a lot of these things are things that should be considered at that scale.
Yep.
But if we're talking about a smaller scale, I'm not sure that's critical now. I'm not wild about condition number three, which is the internal signs. I figure they can handle it. I'm not required about while not fixed, especially on a stop, on a smaller scale. And I agree with Jerry on number 8. I think it's a bit of overkill to require engineered drawings.
What do you think about 2 with the 88 parking? Surface for the ADA. That's an idiot.
I think it's a good idea.
I can tell you, from in Polk County, that's something that we require for like dog kennels or anything with it would be a rural commercial type use where you're going to bring people to your property, where it's a for profit type of thing. We always require the parking, the route to the building, and then the handicap signage to be paid, and the rest could be gravel.
And that certainly is this cost of living, because death control every year and every year. Okay.
I'll make a question.
Do we need number 5?
I'm sorry.
I think so.
Yeah.
What's the question?
Do we need the condition number 5, the recommended condition? Additional lighting for outdoor venues shall be limited to the venue space.
There was nothing that was mentioned for lighting in the submittal.
But it's just part of our code.
Well, we do have lighting standards in our requirements, but this is primarily just for the circulation areas where the doors are, so that there's no tripping or.
Okay.
And also maybe preventing the applicant from lighting the entire property. Just
like only.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. To address that, well, one of the things that our primary customer is that person that wants that rural, secluded, serene area. That's what Denise and I are after. And so part of that is the night sky, so we're very aware of lighting. And the walkways are lit with already lit. We don't even have to install with low directional lighting just to light the pathways. Same way over the doors, and if we would use the current parking has a security light that lights those areas, and if the parking at the machine shed were used, there are lights that could be turned on to light those areas now and then turned off. So we have no intent of getting rid of our night sky. So.
Okay. Number 7, the applicant shall ensure the provision of potable water at all events.
If you bring in hundreds of people to the property, maybe some of the, I think the intent is that they're going to have caterers provide the food and such, but it's a pretty common requirement, and I don't know exactly what.
Potable water is what?
Drinking water. Drinking water.
Okay, so we're not talking about cribles.
No.
Drinking water.
All right.
If I were to make a motion.
I'm trying to make one that's 10 minutes, I think.
here's what I like. Just to move things along here, that any recommendation for approval would apply to the bed and breakfast described in the attached 900 square foot venue that should provide 30 total parking spaces, including the handicapped ones. And I would go with recommendation 2, 4, 5, and 7, or condition 2, 4, 5, and 7 as recommended by staff.
And does that include venues? Is that where we have 30 parking spaces, or?
That includes the 900 foot garage.
Okay.
Venue.
Okay.
The venue garage.
Yeah.
Yes. The attached venue. Yeah.
Okay.
Just a conversion of the garage.
Okay. So nothing was required.
No. That's just food for thought. I'm not making a motion.
Can you repeat that that he just said?
Can you record that? I can repeat that.
That it applies, that the CUP applies to the bed and breakfast as described and the attached 900 square foot venue. That they provide 30 total parking spaces, conditions 2, 4, 5, and 7 as recommended by staff.
So
let
me go back and look at. Oh, is that. You can't make a motion at the chair.
Nope.
Okay, let me go back to the previous slide and look at what 2 and 4 were, Jerry.
Yep, there you go. You want us to read it?
I didn't read it. I just couldn't see it when you didn't have it up there.
Stephanie, would you mind shutting that light off? Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a question? Mm-hmm. I'm getting ready to make a motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying. But I have a question. Do we want to limit the capacity of the bed and breakfast? Say it's so many people. So many rooms, anything like that. I'm just asking the question of the other people here.
Well, it's not limited, isn't it, by the number of guest rooms
I'm getting 4 guest rooms through year 2. It's kind of much for me.
That's all.
That's all. Okay. We're getting exercise.
That's okay. I need every bit.
Right?
Yes. Yes, it's a 4-bedroom bed and breakfast, 2 adults per room, so that would be 8 adults. And as Emily stated, it could do 14 if you had two of the rooms, bedrooms are able to have, one's able to have a family of 4, one's able to have a family of 6. So a maximum of 14, if everything was filled with that scenario, a family of 4 in one, a family of 6 in one, and 2 adults in the remaining 2, that would be 14. And I think the county code, it says a maximum that we could feed a maximum of 16, so I mean, but so our maximum is 8 to 14 depending on whether it's families or just adults.
Would you have a problem with us staying in this for 4 guest rooms?
No, because that's all it's ever going to be is 4 guest rooms.
Okay. I would
at least in our lifetime.
In the attached venue then. Sure, if I could ask you. The attached venue is the pergola?
Above
the garage.
There's 2 garages. There's our garage, and so the upper garage,
mm-hmm.
we don't need as a garage, so that would become a 300 square foot venue and attach a pavilion to that. That would be 900 square feet or 600 square feet, so you'd have a total of 900 square feet. So that if something had to move inside off of the lawns, there's a place to do it. Not just running in the house and all of a sudden there's people jam crammed into a house that's really only designed for.
So let me just make sure I'm right. I was hearing upper garage, and I was thinking upper level of one existing garage. You're talking about a second garage that happens to be somewhere else.
We can show you where the level is.
Thanks. And I'm probably missing a lot of detail.
So this, right? This is what they described as the upper garage. Once again, their garage is on the eastern end. This is the western side of the house. On the eastern side of the house, down below a little bit. So they are calling this the upper garage.
But it's attached to the house.
It's correct. Attached to the house.
And you're not talking about expanding the footprint, or are you?
Just when you add the pavilion on in front of that garage.
Okay.
I can share a drawing with you if you'd like. I can pass a drawing around to you if you'd like.
We got it. That's fine. I just wanted to make sure that if we're going to describe what we were describing, you know, where, you know. And I don't like the venue name. I guess that's it. Well, I think we're talking about a physical structure. That's what I'm trying to say.
So,
what is this physical structure? It's an addition to the garage, basically.
Right?
The pavilion? They call it a conference meeting space. Well, the garage itself, but the addition is the pavilion.
What's the conference and what?
The existing garage, which the applicant is proposing to convert into an indoor venue space, mm-hmm. is here.
It's that first square.
Okay.
Yep. On the right there.
Okay.
The pavilion would extend out toward the west into the driveway area here.
And so total, combined, that space is about 90.
What would you call that area of the renovated garage? Meeting space?
Screen pavilion, screen space, yeah.
Maybe the existing footprint of the garage.
Is the existing footprint of the garage?
Yeah.
I mean, the best I can think of is a venue or a reception hall.
Okay.
May I bring this up?
Reception area.
I'm getting it.
Yeah. Sure, go ahead.
And the screen pavilion, the size you were talking about again was?
Pardon?
The screen pavilion size. 600 square feet.
600.
Okay. I would like to make a motion that we recommend a conditional use permit for the applicant to operate a bed and breakfast in not to exceed 4 guest rooms in the current house, plus to allow remodeling of the existing garage into a reception hall and adding a screen pavilion of approximately 600 square feet to that structure, and also to limit to 30 parking spaces with the required, okay, got that, okay, 30 parking spaces and conditions 2, 4, 5, and 7 recommended by staff.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'm second, Dan.
We have a motion by Merkin and a...
Very complete. Very good.
And a... Second, is there any discussion on the motion? I have one question, just to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
Are you wanting to say 30 spaces, a max of 30 spaces, or a minimum of 30 spaces?
Not to exceed 30 spaces.
Okay, so if they do 5, are you okay with that?
It's their business.
Okay.
They can do their business with 5 spaces. I don't see if there may be some licensing that requires some parking spaces, but I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
Is there anything that we would, Jerry, is there anything that is in our zoning ordinance that would say for this kind of an operation?
For venues, no.
For bed and breakfast, for a lodging house, for anything that this might fall under.
There's just a general condition for approval about parking and loading and whether it's adequate. There's no specificity.
There is a
for bed and breakfast.
Maximum.
Yeah, there's a maximum 2 spaces plus 1 space for each guest bedroom.
So 4 okay. guest just bedrooms a day plus 1 is 9. So, and we said 30. So for venue.
Some of that's for venue.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion on the motion? We have a roll call vote, please.
Miller?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Cable?
Yes.
Merkin?
Yes.
Holstrom?
Yes.
The motion carries. You have a positive recommendation to the Board of Adjustment, and Jerry will be scheduled to the Board of Adjustment for your decision on that. Thanks for coming in. Thank you, everybody, for being so patient. We have more business.
Don't forget to take this sheet.
All right. Our next agenda item is appointment of a committee member, a planning commission member to CAFO committee, which is the Combined Animal Feeding Operation Committee, and I'm going to save you a little trouble.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
So we asked
Carla
Farnley last time if she'd be willing to serve on this, but we didn't want to put her on the spot. We gave her some time to think about it. She's unable to be here tonight, but she did email saying that she'd be willing to. So what we need is a motion and a second and a vote to appoint her to that committee.
When she emailed back, it was kind of iffy as to whether it was kind of like, if you can't find anybody else, I'll do it.
Oh,
you don't think
anybody else interpreted that way?
No. I responded back to her and
Always
wants to do.
We always appoint someone else if she's not into it after the last.
Okay.
Do we have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Motion by Cable.
Second
by Morgan. Let's just do a voice vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion passes.
I just don't know how it is to get roped into something like that.
Yeah. That's why we didn't make you say yes that night.
When you're not here.
Okay. Item number six, Seven Grove Orchard Emergency Plan. This is something that when we approved the recent modification to the conditional use permit for the Center Grove Orchard, we required this. So, Jared, do you have a staff report or did
We did provide a copy of the emergency plan. Aaron is right. That was one of the conditions that was required with their modification that you saw a few months ago. And it was fairly thorough of a document. I can kind of go through just briefly. They did address, they have like a list of different contacts for emergency, including E911, poison control, insurance provider, animal control. There's language in there about how they're going to address like where fire extinguishers are, where the shelters are. They do have like safe locations, which are going to be country store, utility store in case of inclement weather. There's subcategories for issues that you deal with regard to fire. They're training the staff on when the fire department should be contacted, and trying to make decisions about when they can, as staff, deal with certain fire emergencies on their own. All kinds of information about weather, the plans from the owners and the supervisors about checking the weather every day, their communications with their administration or admission staff, communications with parking staff. They've got these corn mazes, how they're going to try to get people or communicate with people with the use of bullhorns. They do like a hay rack ride. They've got a couple of those tractors and trailers set up to try to get people out of those maze situations when the weather turns bad. There's information about what to do with abducted children and or missing children, and it's going to go all the way to the parking staff level. They're not going to let anybody leave the facility. They're going to check trunks. They're going to check cars. They're going to check boxes. They're going to do all these things. What to do if a gunman shows up on the property, how to handle first aid situations, CPR, general injuries. And then there's a statement in here about where Life Flight would land. So, I think they've given it a lot of thought. It's not something like they spent like 2 minutes considering. So, for the most part, I was impressed with the information that they provided. And in the conditions, this was supposed to be submitted within 90 days. I think they met that. And then, you know, if there's anything that the Zoning Commission would like to see added to this, we can certainly communicate that to Steve Black, the owner. And then I do believe that this was supposed to be a part of the traffic study information. So this will be before you again in a few months.
Do you need us to take action on this? Like, should we recommend to the Board of Adjustment whether we think this is an adequate plan?
I would by motion.
Adequately meets that condition?
I would by motion.
I did have a couple questions.
I'm trying to be too callous here. Why is it that government has to get involved with an emergency action plan? Why wouldn't the parents, before they send them somewhere, investigate and see what they have to offer in case of emergencies? Are the parents no longer responsible for their children?
No.
How did we get to be responsible for their children? I didn't even have any fun having them.
Yeah.
And now I got to take care of them?
Well, I think part of it is this business has grown over time to maybe a few hundred to his busiest day. He's got over 8,000 people on his property. And I think the suggestion came from a previous Zoning Commission member who had a background with safety. And, you know, from a business standpoint, it's a good idea for a business owner, for the staff to aware of how to address.
I agree with all of that. And I think they should have a plan.
Because I don't think they had one.
We should sit here and demand they have a plan. The parents ought to demand they have a plan, not the government. But anyway, I just wanted to say that.
I don't think he had one, though, until it came up. So this is probably good for them.
Was it Carlos that talked about that this sounds like a daycare center and it had to be licensed? Am I off base, or did I...
We didn't approve what he wanted to do there.
Right.
It got remanded back.
Approved daycare.
No.
This is unrelated to that.
It's unrelated.
This is the first one.
There's no reason why we need to talk about that issue.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know. Is that related to this or not? This is totally unrelated. It's the same property.
It was the conditional use that added the train, the expansion of the parking.
Okay, that was before the daycare.
Addressing the food service aspects. And again, that was probably about 5 months ago.
I
appreciate what you say, Jerry. I'm not totally in agreement, but I think we're already here. We said we were going to ask him to do a plan. So given that, I would say two things. I was impressed by it. Mm-hmm. I was impressed. There were some things I would not have thought of that they kind of... I don't know how they did it, if there were resources. I have just a couple things, and they're not probably not big deals. But at the beginning of the season, must document that staff are trained. It doesn't say, it's the first stage. It doesn't say in what. Is it trained in the plan? Is it trained in first aid? Is it trained in CPR? I didn't understand that. That's
okay. Maybe a clarification.
The third
What page is that? The first page?
The first page. There are numbers, but I just numbered on the third page. I was wondering where the shelter areas were, but you said they're
yeah, country store and the utility store.
Okay, they don't have anything that's underground for a tornado, do they? Okay. It's on the seventh page. CPR, first aid injuries. Supervisors and former staff who have CPR/medical background as the go-to person. I didn't know if they were planning on having some have training for all staff in first aid and CPR, or just if there's our staff that happen to have that training. Because if they happen to have that training, that's just what we know. That's all I have. Okay. I really thought they did a good job.
I'd like to expand on what Jerry was talking about. Where in our code does it even give the inkling that one of our regulations has to deal with emergency plans? Is that in here?
I don't know that there's anything specific to that. And this wasn't something that was a condition of staff. This was something that came up through the review process, through the public hearing and meeting process. And my recollection is this is something that came from the commission.
Well, so I would answer that by saying that broadly, we are supposed to be looking out for the health, safety, and welfare of the public. And we have a lot of latitude in applying conditions on conditional use permits. The reason we have a lot of latitude is because it's often a one-off use in a place where it wouldn't typically belong. So we are able to apply conditions and to shoehorn something in that wouldn't necessarily work without the conditions. Now, I agree with a lot of what Jerry is saying about what degree do we need to go to ensure the health, safety, and welfare. I generally think, let's just make sure that if there's a tornado, that we're not just dumping 8,000 cars out onto the public roads all at once. You know, but...
I agree with the government involvement. Where do we,
I think the reality is that people assume that these things are taken care of.
Right.
I don't... call the mall before I go shopping and say, what's your plan in case of a tornado when I'm there? Okay?
That's true.
Maybe you should. I think it's,
maybe I should, but most people would not.
It's not my problem.
I will say this.
I just called the administration building to see it.
I don't know about this plan specifically, but I will say that I think we've been successful that he is thinking about that business on the scale that it actually exists now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we've been a long way around to get there, but...
He didn't have anything in place, I don't think, until this came out. And this probably helped them because they've really thought about some issues and how they're going to handle it if it comes up. So,
yes, sir.
Where are we with this black barn, or whatever you call it, are we? Is this the last hoop they jump through before we are going to give them? Are we still waiting for traffic
study?
Is that the last thing we need? Yeah.
And they have the ability to operate, right?
It's a 1-year permit.
Yeah. Jerry, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say it's a 1-year permit. You guys approve it with the conditions. It's a 1-year permit, and then part of the conditions was that they were supposed to have this traffic study done.
Well, we did get the permit.
For a year.
For 1 year.
Okay. But we have to have the traffic.
Okay.
I would love to hear just a quick motion on whether this is adequate. We can recommend to the Board of Adjustment that this satisfies that one condition.
So moved.
And I can get in contact with him on these questions if you have to maybe tighten that up.
Thank you.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion by Vernon, second by Hallstrom. Any discussion on the motion? I always forget to ask.
Okay.
Voice vote, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign? Carries.
Just that the Board of Supervisors, the public hearing for the C2C plans, June 7 at 10 o'clock. So we are approaching the end of the
election day.
I think it is.
Mentioned too.
Commission comments.
So then the real work begins hopefully after it's approved.
Commission comments? Jerry, just one comment. If this is just my problem, we'll talk about it later, but I am not finding a lot of these graphics in the staff report that I download, in particular the plats.
Okay.
Just tell me to find them.
Maybe I'm missing anything.
Like materials that were emailed?
I'm getting the staff report, but I'm not getting, like I'm disappointed I've never seen a full plat for the...
Oh, like for the
subdivision. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We only get the narrative with the staff report, and we see the...
Because there's like five or six pages with the irons.
Right, occasionally you send us extra stuff, and that's great, but I wonder if we could just get the... We should have a copy of the plat, even if it's digital. when there's a subdivision in front of us.
Right, I thought you did.
But also the, you know, the entire application, I think that, well, it used to be included. I think that we need to see the whole packet online, and I really think that for the public's purpose and freedom of information, that even the pictorials, the graphics, need to be online so that anybody else can take a look.
So if you had the total application in there, could the staff report be shorter? Because I get the sense you're reiterating a lot of the application in the staff.
With this bed and breakfast, how many pieces of information? They were extremely thorough. There was hundreds and hundreds of pages of information. So, and to be honest with you, I think from my perspective, part of our job is to kind of filter through some of that instead of just dumping everything your way, but being mindful of, you know, trying to make sure that you have the pertinent pieces so that you guys can make, you know, valued decisions.
Okay.
So, for sure, you should have the flat, I thought for sure.
Well, the application is available to the public if anybody requests it, correct?
Oh, yeah, anything
come
is available.
You can sit on it and through the actual file.
No, see, we're paperless, so they'd have to sit at a computer.
They have to come physically in to look at it.
Well, they can email that to them, too, if they request it. But maybe.
That's part of the challenge.
Just look at the transparency.
And even with the irons, oh my gosh, I'd love to show you my files on the irons. Stephanie, help me sort through this.
Okay. Any other commission comments? Good. Motion to adjourn.
You may.
Second.
Yep.
We are adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.